Can you look back over the last 1 year and think of at least one area where you became a little more Christ-like? Ask your wife. Ask your husband. Whether there was some area where they saw a change, which they hadn't seen for so many years. Then you're on the right train. Otherwise, you're not. Now, by right train, I don't mean this building. Please recognize that. A lot of people sitting in this building, we don't know where they'll end up. But the right train is that personal choice you make every day to become like Christ. And it says, there it says brighter and brighter in Proverbs 4:18. Here it says, from glory to glory. From one degree of glory to another, to another, to another, till one day we have the full glory of Jesus Christ in our life. That is the path God has designed for the righteous. And I want to say that's for every person who is born again. And if that's not happening in your life, you're on the wrong track. For example, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. I haven't got there yet, but I'm on the path. And if you are not loving your wife a little more like Jesus Christ loved the church this year than you did last year, I want to tell you, you're going in the wrong direction. Your train is going in the wrong direction. For example, if you loved your wife more on the day you got married, think of all of you husbands who are here. If you loved your wives more on the day you were married, and less today because you saw so many weaknesses in her, I want to tell you, you're on the wrong track. Your train is going in the opposite direction. Because if it is going the right direction, you'd be loving your... You are not perfect to love as Christ loved the church. None of us is. But you'd be moving in that direction where you'd be denying yourself more to love your wife as Christ loved the church. And that's just one area. Or a wife. Submit to your husband as the church submits to Christ. You love to do it on the day you were married. But if you find you're rebellious and fighting and quarreling today, and you think just by sitting in CFC, you're on the right train, I want to say to you in Jesus' name, you are not on the right train. I want to tell you the truth. It's not because I hate you, but it's because I love you. I want you to know the truth and wake up before one day Christ comes back and you find that you're nowhere near His kingdom. I want all of you to be in God's kingdom. That's why I speak the truth. That's why I decided long ago that I'd never take any money for preaching. Because once you start taking money for preaching, you can't tell people the truth. Yeah, that's true. Because I want to tell you the truth, because so many people are going astray because preachers are not telling them the truth. Here is the truth. God wants you to become like Jesus Christ in every area. So, consider these things. In every area, God wants you to be like Christ. If your handling of money, if you love money more today than you did last year, I want to tell you, you are on the wrong track. Maybe you haven't come completely free from the love of money. None of us have. But you should be a little more free than last year. And much more free than 10 years ago. I mean, if you're in the train going to Delhi, you should be closer to Delhi after 6 hours, not further away. Predestined. What is your destination? How much did Jesus love money? Is that your destination, to be completely free from it? Or loving your enemies? If I cannot love some enemy of mine, I'm not going on the right track. I'm not even making an effort. Now, loving your enemies does not mean going around visiting them and fellowshipping with them. Jesus never visited or fellowshiped with the Pharisees. He could not. They were His enemies. They hated Him. They'd kick Him out of the house. But He loved them. A lot of people misunderstand love and fellowship. I have many enemies. I can say before God I love all of them. I can also say I have fellowship with almost zero of them. No, you can't have fellowship. Because they're not interested. But we must love them. We've got to bless everyone who curses us. This is what it means to be like Christ. Father, forgive them. For they don't know what they're doing. Do you know the number of times I've had to say that? Whenever I hear someone who's said or done something, and I hear that very frequently against me, I say, Father, forgive them. He doesn't know what he's doing. I'm not upset with him. And the picture the Lord has given me is, don't get angry with them. Do you ever get angry when you see a leper with his hands all eaten up and nose all bitten up? Do you get angry with him? No. And the Lord said, that guy's like a leper. That's why he hates you. That's why he curses you. That's why he speaks evil of you. You're crazy if you're angry with him. Look at him like a leper. Love him. Be merciful to him. Poor man, his hands are eaten, his nose is eaten. Spiritually, he's like a leper in God's eyes. Love him. Bless him. Pray that the Father will forgive him because he doesn't know what he's saying. He's stupid. One day he stands before the Lord. He'll see what a crime it was for the things he said. And that day he'll wake up. Forgive him now itself. I tell you, it's wonderful to obey God's word. The Holy Spirit will make us more and more like Christ. In a particular situation, he'll show you, this is what you must do now. That's why it's important to read the scriptures. So now I want to come to the motive with which we do these things. The motive is very clear in John chapter 14. You see, in the New Testament, the important thing is not just what you do, but why you did it. It's very important to understand this. In the Old Testament, what you did was important. In the New Testament, what you do is important, but more important is why you did it. For example, let me take the matter of tithing. Old Testament, I call it Old Testament income tax. Okay, tithing is Old Testament income tax. Now, let's take income tax today. When a man files his income tax, I don't think anybody loves to pay income tax. They have to do it, otherwise they'll get into trouble. And so they file the income tax return. They don't have to say, hallelujah, praise God, I can give so much money to the government. It does, no. You don't have to be very excited. You can be upset, oh, the government is charging so much, angry, okay, but you're honest, and you file it and pay the money. The government is not bothered whether you're angry or upset. When you, so long as you pay the money, they're happy what you're doing. Whether you come with a smile to the bank or with an angry face to the bank, government is happy so long as the amount is correct. That is how tithing was in the Old Testament. When they came and gave the grain to the Levites or their sheep, they could have said, yeah, here it is. Take your 10%, you Levite. I'm free. God would have said, fine. You've obeyed the commandment. There was no requirement in the Old Testament you have to give it cheerfully with a happy, smiling face. No. Because what you did was important. But in the New Covenant, why you do it is more important. That means God loves a cheerful giver. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9:7. So how I do, in the Old Testament it was how much you give. In the New Testament it is how you give. Motive is very important. So what is the motive for our obedience? John 14 and verse 15. Very important verse. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. That is the only motive for obeying God's commandments. Do you know why Jesus obeyed the Father even unto death? Because he loved the Father. It wasn't a grinding, oh Father, you're telling me to take up the cross every day. Oh Father, you're telling me to die to myself every day. Oh no. He was delighted. Every morning he was happy to get up and say, Father, I'm delighted to put myself to death today and to walk in your way because your way is the best. And when you become a little more like Christ, that's how you'll begin every morning. When people cross your path and trouble you and irritate you, thank you, Father, one more opportunity to die to myself and partake of the life of Jesus. Hallelujah. If you love me, keep my commandments. Old Testament was, you read in Deuteronomy 28, if you fear me, you better keep my commandments, otherwise I'll punish you with, you read Deuteronomy 28, you'll be punished with madness and blindness and sickness and curse and all types of things. And they feared and they said, no, we don't want all that. Okay, then obey me. But in the New Testament, it's not like that. If you love me, keep my commandments. And you ask the Apostle Paul, Paul, you prayed 3 times to get rid of that sickness which you called a thorn in the flesh. This terrible eye disease that you had. And God hasn't healed you. You're such a great, mighty man of God. And you prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And God said, no. You've got to keep that sickness. You still love him? Paul says, sure. My love for Jesus and obedience to his commandments has got nothing to do with whether he heals me or not. I don't care if I'm not healed of 100 sicknesses. I love Jesus. Why? Not because he heals me. Because he loved me and gave himself for me. That's all. Even if he never does any other thing. In other words, what he did on Calvary was enough. And after that, he never answered one single prayer of mine. Fine. I still love him. I don't love him because he answered my prayer. That's Old Testament. I love him because he first loved me and gave himself for me. That's what Paul would say. You ask Timothy the same question. Timothy, you've been suffering with this constant stomach problem. You read that in 1 Timothy 5. You still love Jesus? Sure. What about your healing? Oh, that doesn't matter. He died for me, and I'll give my life for him. That's how both of them, both Paul and Timothy, were martyred for the sake of Christ. Why did they take all those risks in their life? What is it for? Is it for some reward? No, it's because they loved. And I want to say to you, if you do something in order to get some reward from God, like some pastors will say, if you give money, God will bless you more. You're not living in the New Testament. You're living in the Old Covenant. In the New Covenant, there's only one motive for obedience. Only one. I love Jesus because he loved me. And even if he gives me no answers to my prayer, nothing is answered, I will still serve him till the end of my life. That's the happy Christian. That's the one whose life is going to get brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter till Christ comes again. So never forget this. This is a foundation for our Christian life. I obey him because I love him. And I don't want anything from him. If he gives me anything, it's like a bonus.